All right, if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. We're going to begin the reading in verse number 13. It says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Now what we're looking at is some things in the Bible that you're going to see concerning growth. What you have in this text of Scripture here is things preceding spiritual growth. You're going to notice there's a spiritual battle going on. If you'll notice that the word prevailed is used in verse number 16, that evil spirit leaped out of them and overcame them and prevailed against them. Then in verse 20, after all these things happened, then it says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Now, what we're in, just like here in this text of Scripture, we're in a spiritual battle. So many things are being emphasized right now on the physical. People are worrying about their physical health, which I understand that. That's it's okay to do that. It's okay to be concerned a little bit about making sure that you have money to pay bills and all these things. I mean, these are concerns that do come to the mind. But we cannot forget that we are in a spiritual battle. One thing about the growth is there is a growing pains that has to do with growth. Now, in the definition of growing pains, it says growing pains are often described as an ache or throb in the legs, often in the front of the thighs, the calves, or behind the knees. Growing pains tend to affect both legs and occur at night, and may even wake a child from sleep. You know, some pains, if you had some growing pains in a spiritual walk, wouldn't it be nice if you had some growing pains that awaked you out of a sleep? I know there's a lot of sleepy Christians right now that are starting to wake up a little bit and realize it's time to really get serving the Lord. Now, it says, although these pains are called growing pains, there's no evidence that growth hurts. Now, what some doctors say is the reason for saying that is that the pain is likely due to muscle overuse during the day. Pain can be in the thighs, calves, or backs of the knees. Now, when you use your muscles, you're going to have some pain due to that. What's going on now is so many Christians have been lulled to sleep and rocked to sleep because of so much ease and so many years of just being able to just kind of sit by and coast when some things are going on and we're actually having to use our spiritual muscles. Many of us are getting sore and we're realizing that there really is a battle going on, and the devil really is hard at work, and he's trying to get Christians. He's not worried about this lost world. He's already got them. He's trying to get the Christians off balance. He's trying to get Christians discouraged. He's trying to get Christians to the place to where they want to just throw their hands up and give up. And we're realizing more and more that we are in a great spiritual battle, and there are going to be growing pains associated with it. Also, these special miracles that was spoken of in verse number 12, The Bible says that verse number 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And it talks about what all was going on. And it says in the bottom of verse 12, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. So you've got some exorcists here in verse number 13 that had saw that. What's going on is there are Jews still present here, and Paul's an apostle. He still has the signs of an apostle. The New Testament books haven't been completed yet, or the Pauline epistles, rather. And so the apostle Paul is given these necessary miracles because Jews are there, and Jews require a sign that's given in 1 Corinthians 1:22, so that these might believe, and that his apostleship is authentic, so he's able to cast out these devils at this time in the right way. Now, in verse 13, you've got these Jewish religious leaders. They're performing miracles through the power of Satan, which includes casting out devils. Matthew 12, verse 27, the Lord Jesus says, "And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out?" He was saying and stating under that statement that he realized that Satan's own children cast them out. Well, they'll work together in order to deceive people. The Antichrist will do the same thing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, it tells the Apostle Paul warns that in the tribulation he's going to do wonders and miracles and things like that. And the false prophet is going to do the same thing. In Revelation 13, 12 through 15, he's going to bring signs from the heavens. And so there's going to be false signs. So you say, is that going today? A Catholic priest claimed to be exorcist and things like that. So they've got a counterfeit ministry as well. So you've got to understand that there is a spiritual battle. And the things that are talked about in this text go on today. There's a spiritual battle raging. Now, there are things that precede a revival. I think that we do have a chance to see a lot of personal revival going on. I do think that we have a chance to see some individuals and even some churches get right, some people get right, and you say, well, Brother Chase, how come you're not saying about a nation? I tell you something, this nation is far from that. When you've got a nation that aborts as many babies as this nation aborts, and this nation approving of what they approve, that so many things that I could spend the rest of the sermon talk about that goes against the Bible, and this nation approves it as a whole. You imagine a real revival would mean shutting down all the liquor stores. Do you see that happening? Do you see all these perverted movies and all these perverted books and magazines that go out and stuff like that ceasing? Do you see that happening on a nationwide scale? And you say, well, why do you think that? Well, look at verse number 19. What happens there? They threw away all their books and burned them before all men, and it was so much money. Do you realize that this nation as a whole, how many businesses would go out if you had a nationwide revival? And so the demonic activity to keep those businesses going on a nationwide scale is to such a place that people have to give all that up. You're not going to see that. And you say, that's a negative view. I believe we can still have small revivals here, there, and yonder, but the nations in God's eyes are as a drop of a bucket. He's going to go back to dealing with Israel after rapture of the church, and this nation as a whole is not going to repent. And that's just biblical right there. But I do like to let you know and encourage you. You can have revival in your individual life. Your church can experience revival. You might have a revival in your county. You never know. There's a spiritual battle going on, and we cannot give up. Now, in this thing that has to do with growth, these things preceding growth of the Word of God and growth of people growing, going back to the Lord, number one, you're going to see trouble with spirits. I want you to notice in verse number 15, notice their perception in verse number 15. It says, in the evil spirit, I like to count in here, and this verse has to do with these evil spirits, has 18 words connected to this devilish speech, and the evil spirit has 13 letters in it. That's a 13-18 connection. I just think that's really interesting because numbers are really important in the Bible, and I just think this Bible is just amazing. It's just a well that you can never plumb to the depths of. So if you like numbers, I think that's interesting. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? I want you to notice that they know who's serving and who isn't serving. Now you think of this, are you known in the spiritual realm? Don't you know that David was known in the spiritual realm? Don't you know in the Old Testament, Job was known in the spiritual realm when Satan came up and the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Don't you know that Gideon, whenever that angel said, thou mighty man of valor, don't you know he was known in the spiritual realm? Don't you know that Peter, the Lord said, Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat. Peter was known in the spiritual realm. And don't you know that they talk about prophets and who's false and who's not? 1 Kings 22, there was a great meeting there, and all those spirits gathered before the Lord, and one spirit said on this manner, another spirit said on another manner, and one spirit said, I will go deceive Ahab. Why? Because they knew who's serving, they knew who wasn't. So think of this, are you known in the spiritual realm? How are you known in the spiritual realm? Are you known to be a servant of God? Or do they know you as somebody who is that? What are they doing? They're not doing anything. What kind of threat are they? I tell you something, today you may be sitting at your house, you may be confined to your home. Do you have a prayer ministry? Are you praying for these other preachers as they preach the Word of God? Are you praying for their wives and their children, their church congregations, those people who are separated from their families right now, those children who have sick parents and those parents who have sick children, those people who would love to serve, who can't serve, those people who need to be lifted up? The thing is, you are known, there's a spiritual warfare going on, and you are known to whether you're sitting on the bench or whether you're not. The mistake of these men was self-insertion. Verse number 13 says about these men who don't have very much sense at all spiritually. The Bible says that if you'll notice there, they took upon them. It says certain Jews, certain of the vagabond Jew exorcists took upon them. Now, if God didn't send you, you don't need to go. They took it upon themselves to go. It's best to wait on a clear verse than just to zealously go out in your own ignorance. You need to make sure you know that God has sent you to do something. It's best just to sit by and just wait on God instead of just jumping out there and doing something you don't know what you're doing. Your zeal has to be balanced with your knowledge. It's good to have zeal, it's good to have knowledge, but they need to be balanced out. These men right here just going out on their own ignorance and they get whipped spiritually for it. The problem is they wanted the power without having the provider. You can't have the power of God unless you know the one who gives the power of God. You've got so many today wanting the power that it takes to get an answer prayer without knowing the Lord who answers it. You've got many today who want to know the things contained within the pages of the Bible without knowing the author of the Bible. You got so many today that want to know the future without knowing who holds the future. They're like Simon over there in Acts chapter number 8, the sorcerer. They've got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's what's going on today. Is you got so many people who want to look like they're really serving God when they're really not serving God. They look the part, but they don't have the inside, and that's a danger there. Why? You're intruding into a spiritual realm, and you're headed for trouble. I want you to notice also in verse number 16, these evil spirits here, under this thing of having trouble with spirits, they use men to speak by. Notice it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. Men who don't go by the scripture, you think about these men who get whipped by this evil spirit here. The Jews had rejected the Lord Jesus. The same Jews that rejected the Lord are trying to traffic with evil spirits contrary to the law which they profess to believe. If you read Deuteronomy 18, 10 and 11, it was forbidden unto them to mess with evil spirits and familiar spirits and intrude into these things right here. They're intruding into an area that they didn't know anything about. You better be careful about getting into areas that you don't know anything about. You'll get yourself into a trouble. You better be careful about these horoscopes and a week Ouija boards and things like that. You get too much time on your hands and you get to messing around with things like that. That's a spiritual realm that you don't know anything about. That's like this Bible's a spiritual book. If you don't come to this Bible with a humble mind and a believing heart, or a humble mind and a believing heart, both of them need to be humble when you come to the Lord. Why, this thing is a two-edged sword, and you'll take it and you will put these things down on people that don't belong on them, and you'll take this spiritual book and make a wreck out of people's lives with it. That's what's going on today. Thank the Lord these men got shown who they were. I want you to notice not only the perception of these evil spirits know who you're serving, whether you like to admit it or not, but I want you to notice also in verse 16 their power. They use people. They used a man to do harm to those who would cast them out. Now you got to understand these evil spirits. If they get somebody to get inside and use and that will yield to them, they don't want to get out. So if you've got someone that's serving the devil, that evil spirit that's using that person does not want to get out of them. They've got power and they want to keep their power. So if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a threat to the power of the devil, you better understand that he's going to come against you. So you take courage in that. But I want you to notice too that these people didn't even know the Lord, and at one time they had to have been successful. So you got to understand that even in Matthew chapter number 7, the Lord predicted in Matthew 7 verse 22 that this was going to happen, things like this. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, they're saying Jesus. They got Jesus on the church and all these things. And in thy name have cast out devils. So they weren't lying right here. They cast them out. And in thy name done many wonderful works. He's going to profess to them, I never knew you. They do a lot of things in the name of Jesus Christ, but not by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people who wear the name, but they've stayed the same. What is that? They never trusted Jesus Christ. They just used the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice the power of these evil spirits. Evil spirits have power. They've got enough power to use somebody and literally use their body to do harm against other people. So that's how come you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in you to have discernment in this old evil world that's being used. And you see some of these men and women do things they're doing, you wonder what's going on. Well, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. They're being used by evil spirits. They're full of devils. And as we get closer and closer to the rapture of the church, you're going to see an increase in demonic activity, and you're going to see an increase in things like you've never seen before. How come? Because as this thing gets darker and darker, and as you get a world that's full of more and more lost people, and less people are trusting Jesus Christ and getting saved, you're going to see a more demonic world, and evil is going to take over more and more. You're going to see an increase in spiritual evil, spiritual activity, because more people are lost. As the population grows, you're going to have a growth in demonic activity, and you'll see some strange things like this right here. And so even the prophets, even back then, Jeremiah 14, verse 14, the Lord in the Old Testament had predicted things. This stuff's always been going on. It says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Then he says, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. They're not using the Word of God. They're just giving you things. That's why you've got all these charismatic movements going on. They're saying the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. You better not listen to people when they say the Lord told me. You better ask them where is that in the Bible? How come you don't know what the Lord told them? It could have been a false Lord telling them that. So you got an increased interest in spirituality is dangerous if it's outside the Lord. It's good for you to be more interested in spiritual things. It's good for you to have an interest in what's going on and how the Lord's working today. But I tell you this, the business of the Christian is to find out the spirit of this world and go directly against it. You say, what's the verse for that? Romans chapter 12, verses 1-3. Your business is to find out how this world is moving and go directly against that. How come the world system's run by the devil and all those evil spirits are following that world system by following the devil? And if you'll go against the multitude, you'll be right 99% of the time. Why? Because the multitude is following the world, and the world is following the flesh and the devil. And what you have is, if you get an increased interest in spirituality, and it's not according to the Lord and His Word and the Holy Spirit, it's dangerous, and it's going to lead you to danger, and you're going to get hurt. Making out like you're more spiritual than what you really are, like these people right here. It's nothing wrong with saying amen, God bless you, and all that stuff. But if it's really not on your heart, and that's really not part of you, don't say it. Just be how the Lord made you, and just only be as spiritual as what God's made you at that time. So what's going on is their outward shows revealing their spiritual condition. They got whipped here by this evil spirit, literally, and they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Well, they literally lost a spiritual battle because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. You wonder why so many people are losing the battle spiritually is because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. That's how come it's literally revealing what they are. You take a time like we're going through right now, what's on people's hearts is really being revealed. What they're fearing is really being revealed. What they're scared of losing is really being revealed. What they really believe is really being revealed. Their spiritual condition is being revealed right now. This is a time that's being used to reveal where people are in the Lord, I believe a lot. Not this deal about the sheep and the goats type of deal, but it's just showing what's on so many people's hearts because a lost person thinks different than a saved person. Also, there is a connection between spirits and nakedness. And Luke chapter 8 in verse number 27, it says, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Devils have to do with nakedness outside the Lord. What I want you to see there is spiritually speaking, that there is a dress, not only outwardly but inwardly, that has to do with a Christian. In the book of Titus, chapter number 2, in verse number 10, it says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. Adorn the doctrine. There is a such thing as a spiritual dress. You ought to be clothed not only physically, but you ought to be clothed spiritually, because you've got the armor of God, and you ought to have a thing about you where you're yielded to the Spirit, and there's literally a spiritual clothing about you that shows up on the outside. These people right here get whipped by this evil spirit, and it just took one spirit to whip them. Just one. People talk about, well, the devil's messing with me. I'll tell you what, it wouldn't take but just the slightest evil spirit to whip 99.9% of us. So you've got that thing. Now, what you're going to see in the way to growth and things preceding growth is you're going to have trouble with spirits, but then I want you to see something else too. On that way, you can see once you get past that realm there, if you'll follow the Lord like the Apostle Paul in these things, our pattern and his pattern was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. You're going to see the Savior, the magnification of the Savior. Verse number 17, it says, and this was known. What happened? Whenever these people got whipped and they were naked wounded, it said this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now, what happens is the magnification of the Savior leads to cleanliness. Leads to cleanliness. In verse number 18, they're confessing their deeds. They're believed. They believe the Lord, and they're confessing and showing their deeds. Now, confession doesn't bring redemption, but it brings revival. You got to understand here that there is a thing that comes with a healthy fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they saw that was done to them, it brought a fear on them. So a spiritual battle can bring a healthy fear. Right now, we're seeing unprecedented times where fear is all over the place. People don't know what to believe. And what I want you to know is this. Out of this healthy fear, there is a magnification of the Savior right now going on in all this that you've got to understand in this time of spiritual battle. Just like in this text, is what's got some things are going on now that you may not be able to be aware of, or you may not understand that's going on. In this text, the Lord was magnified and a revival came in a time of confusion. People did not know what to believe at this time right here. At this time in this text, there was some speaking by evil spirits and some speaking by the Holy Spirit. Here's the Apostle Paul. Paul was in the minority. He was going against the majority, and the minority was right and the majority was wrong. People were confused, but guess what? Because those, get this, who were following the devil were exposed, both literally and physically, spiritually. They were literally shown to be naked, but their physical nakedness was a picture of their spiritual inability to do anything that counted or worthy for the Lord. So guess what? And those people realized Paul was preaching the truth. If you want to know what's going to come to a lot of individual revivals and individual people getting right out of all this, is they're going to realize a lot of these people were charlatans. I believe if anybody will listen and look, a lot of people are going to come out of the Pentecostal movement because of this coronavirus. So how come they can't heal the coronavirus? How come their ministries are going broke and they're getting on here begging for money? A lot of these people are going to be realizing that a lot of these people don't rightly divide the word of truth. I believe they're going to come out of that. You got a lot of these people, well, if you don't send in your tithe, God's going to break down your car. God's going to break down your water heater. God's going to let you get sick. And God's going to, look, they're realizing that's a bunch of baloney. You got to go to Stoke Grocery to get that much baloney. Why? Because it don't match the word of truth. God can keep you going. He's kept us going. Why? Because I'm seeing men and women. I hadn't asked anybody, and I know other pastors haven't either, for a dime. And you know what? People have been asking, hey, we want to give. Hey, we want to make sure everything's going right. Hey, why? Because when you let people go by their free will and give because they want to, and because they love the Lord, they do what's right because they know it's the right thing to do. They're realizing they don't have to be in bondage. Well, we got enough bondage being taught as it is, much less putting more on people than they stand. You let them yield to the Lord, and the Lord will tell them what to do. And when the Lord tells them what to do, they'll yield to the Lord, not to a man, and they won't be burned down by a man. You got some people right now can't even pay the bills, hadn't had work in 5 weeks, and you got them over here telling them they got to do this, that, and other thing, or God's going to extort them. That is wrong, and I believe a lot of people are going to get individual revival, realizing that, hey, a lot of these guys, I've been thinking, were right, they're really wrong. I believe that some of these churches, individual places, are going to grow, and I believe that the Lord's going to be able to use this thing to show a lot of truth where a lot of people who were in the minority were right, and a lot of people who had the majority were wrong because of this thing. A revival came, and the Lord was magnified. Now, look, when the Lord gets magnified, His Word gets magnified. Why? Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. I believe it's Psalm 138, verse 2. Why? When you magnify the Lord, you're magnifying His Word, and you magnify His Word, you're magnifying the Lord. And man, I tell you something, when you magnify something, everything else looks small in comparison. You're realizing at this time the main thing, the biggest thing, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't draw your breath without the Lord. You can't pay your bills without the Lord. And I tell you something, you can do all those things, and without the Lord, it's still fleeting. Why? Because one of these days I'm going to draw my last breath. One of these days I'm going to pay my last bill. And you know what? It's not going to matter if I'm going to hell when I die. But I'm not. Why? I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've trusted Him, hey, all this stuff ends. I'll just pick up with the Lord and go out into eternity. I want you to see that it comes from a healthy fear. Cleanness comes from a healthy fear, and it comes to a healthy forsaking. Verse number 18, I want you to see they confessed. Now, I want to reiterate, confession does not bring redemption, but revival. The Bible says, in your Apostle Paul gives you in 2 Corinthians 12:21, he says, "Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." That's saved people doing these things. A lot of these people make out like, well, so-and-so's not saved. These are saved people having fornication and lasciviousness which they've committed. He said, you need to repent. You know what a lot of people need to do? You just need to get out on your face to God, before God, and repent. You just need to get down on your face before the Lord and have a good, healthy forsaking. That thing is healthy for you. That thing leads to cleanness. That thing will get you clean before God and help your heart. And a lot of people are depressed because they hadn't repented in such a long time. A lot of people just hadn't got down before the Lord and told Him, "Hey, Lord, I want you to know that I'm sorry for this thing here, and I'm repenting. I'm changing my mind. I'm gonna change my mind concerning this sin and start serving you better." And you know what that'll do? It'll lead to cleanness, but it'll lead to courage. Verse number 19, it says, "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men." You know what that courage is? Before all men. In the Old Testament, they put the blood on the door so all could see. Now, you know what you'll find out? There's a picture there. You've already got the blood on the heart of your, the blood on the door of your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. But you know what? There's a picture of an outward testament of an inside covering. It's nothing wrong with you being able to tell folks, "Hey, I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm no longer what I used to be. I thank the Lord that I'm able to say I'm not what I need to be, but I'm not what I used to be, while the Lord's still working on me." Titus chapter 3 verse 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, thou affirm constantly." Well, keep repeating yourself. Well, sometimes I get worried that I keep repeating myself, and I have to realize verses like this. He said, affirm constantly. Keep saying the same things and adding to it, and you just want repetition, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Well, look, God knows if you're saved or not, but people can't see your heart. Only people can see what you do. So what happens is, a lot of people can't listen to what you're saying before seeing what you're doing. There needs to be an outward testament, and there it comes from a healthy forsaking, and it gives you courage to serve the Lord before all men. Now is the time when a Christian needs to have courage. Why? It's a good thing to have that courage. It's an encouragement to others. I tell you what, I've been encouraged by my church family so much so I just can't put it in the words. I can't put in the words how encouraged I've been by calls and texts and emails and things. People just saying, hey, we're still serving. We're still praying. We're looking forward to being able to continue our work for the Lord and continue getting the gospel out. And some of you have been such a blessing you'll never know. Why? Because I can't tell until you do something on the outside. We don't know what each other's thinking, but I know this right here. It's an encouragement for me, and I know if it's an encouragement for me, it's an encouragement to others when you see people just being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He never said for you to be successful. He said for you to be faithful. Now, here's the third thing. You get, not only did you get a magnification of the Scripture whenever you have trouble with spirits, but and you keep in that battle, but you're gonna see also a magnification of a magnification of the Savior. You get a magnification of the Scriptures in verse number 20. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. There's that battle. Why? They prevailed, but the word of God prevailed. You get the transaction. I want you to see there when the Lord Jesus Christ, is on the inside of you, the Word's on the inside of you. Why? He's the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible tells you there that He's so associated that that's why I quoted that verse earlier. It said the Word of God was, the Lord was magnified. When in the Old Testament, the Bible said the Word is magnified. Now, why? Because both of them, they go hand in hand. God's no good without His Word. That's why you have to trust His Word. I don't see the Lord Jesus Christ walking around here, but I've got the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ that testifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I trust that testimony, after I've trusted, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you got the transaction. So as more people come to know the Lord, His Word grows. As the body grows, the Word's growing. So we want to see the Word grow, and the Word grows as more people trust that the gospel, that Word, Jesus Christ. It's going to grow. I hope and pray that you want to see the magnification of the Scriptures. Now look, you can't magnify the Scriptures if you don't have them. One thing that's such a thing today, and so many people don't realize, this revival came. They took all those books and burned them together. I wish all the books that were against this Word of God that we have, and that cast doubt on this Word of God. When I'm talking about the Word of God, I'm talking about something I can hold in my hand. This King James Bible right here. This is the Word of God for the English speaking people. I have it in my hand. And I'm not ashamed of it. Matter of fact, the more I read it, the more I want to tell people, you've got the Word. You can trust every single word in this thing. And it's a blessing to have this thing. I'm just so, so grateful to God for giving us this light in a dark world, and this light in a dark hour, this truth when so many lies are going on, this salvation that's preached in this Bible here that nobody else has outside of it. I thank God for it, and we need to realize. I think all these things that cast doubt, and all these sermons and all this stuff, it'd be good for it just be burned before all men. You say, well, is that going to happen? Yeah, the Bible tells you that when the Lord comes back at the second coming, His angels are going to go and gather all things that offend Him, and He's going to burn them all. You know what? One of these days, every bad book is going to be burned. Every bad movie is going to be burned. Every bad billboard is going to be burned. Everything that doesn't magnify and give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be burned. And I look forward and hasten the day, Lord. You got the transaction there under magnification of the Scriptures. Then you got victory in translation. That Bible tells you that it grew the Word of God, so mightily grew the Word of God, and prevailed. What's that? Prevailed in a spiritual battle. This thing has prevailed. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. What prevailed has to do with a battle. You're in a battle, and whenever you're fighting with the sword of the Spirit, you can prevail in the spiritual battle. Now, are you fighting with the spiritual sword, or are you trying to do like Peter over there with the Lord, and he took out a physical sword when the battle turned spiritual? You've got to understand when it's a spiritual thing, when it's a physical thing. Right now, what we're seeing, if you don't understand that this thing is a spiritual battle, that you're going to get confused. Anything that affects the church, you got that thing is spiritual. We're in a battle right now, and Christians need to be on their knees praying. We need to be praying for our leaders. Why? That's biblical. Paul tells you, pray for our leaders and those that are in authority. We need to be praying for our fellow church members. We need to be praying that the lost come to be saved. You got a thing in this Bible here. It said to prevail. Now, You got to realize there's victory in translation. Why do I say that translation? In that battle, you got David prevailing over him, and you got an awesome picture here. That Bible tells you that in 2 Samuel 3:10 it says to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. Now, the translation, whenever it was in a second state, it was better whenever it was in David's control than it was in Saul's control. Now, you think about when concerning the Word of God. We've got the translation of the Bible here that we can use every day, that this in the English language, that you can use and believe and preach and teach and study and pray over. All right, was it better in the originals or is it better now? It's better now in this state than it was then. Why? I can't read the originals and neither can you. You don't have them, but you have this Bible here. Now, what am I trying to tell you here? Victory and translation, prevail, has to do with the Word of God. When you work for the Lord, the Word of God working in and through you is translated from the word form to work form. That word working in you is translated, just like it's from one state to the next. Now, what kind of translation is coming from you? Is it one that's magnifying the Scriptures? Or is it one that's doing injustice to the Word of God? When other people see you in this spiritual battle we're going through right now, people need to see that there's hope in you. People need to see that there's courage in you. People need to see that there's cleanness in you. People need to see that you're not being deceived by evil spirits. People need to see that you're strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Trust in the Lord, not in yourself. Why? At this time right here, we've still got to understand that a lost and dying world is out there watching. This thing is not about us. It's not about the fact that you can't go down there and go to the ball game. It's not about the fact that you can't go to the movie theater. It's not about the fact that you can't go get all your goods like you used to. This thing has to do with a spiritual thing, and souls are in the balance. Now, are you working for the Lord? Are you going to let it be a good translation? I sure hope so. I hope that you're going to let the Lord work in and through you. Now's a good time to be working for the Lord. Now's a good time to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord. I serve with some good people, both in my church family and some people that I correspond with across the internet and people I went to school with. It's a blessing to know you. But y'all, we've got to keep in mind over and over again, what we need is the Lord, and we need the Lord working in and through us, and He'll work through you if you'll yield to Him. Keep your head up, making sure you're still looking for the Lord to come back each day. Keep in mind that He knows what you're going through, and God cares for you. Are you trusting His ability to do what's right in this time? Well, Paul had to trust the Lord here. There's a lot of confusing things going on. Just like you are, you may be sitting there right now, not knowing exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, but I want to remind you that you've got a caring Savior, you've got a loving Savior, you've got a compassionate Savior, you've got a living Savior, you've got a risen Savior, you've got a Savior that cared so much for you that He died on the old rugged cross for your sins. He loves you. Now, if He loves you, don't you know He can take care of you? Man, I tell you something, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to what He brings you to, He's able to bring you through. God guides, God provides, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come through. I want you to know that we have victory in Jesus Christ. I hope you've got that victory. I hope you know Him. I hope you're trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And those of you who are trusting, I hope you'll just keep your head up and keep serving Him. God bless you.